Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Hi there, and welcome to this week's Be a Planner Tax Mash Show. I'm your host, Nathan Ross, tax CPA, and we'll be joined here shortly by Dan Dubose, also a tax CPA. And as you know, we'll be talking about finding tax strategies and ways to help you achieve financial freedom a lot more than if you give half your money away as you get started towards building more dollars. And essentially, I want to remind you that we are the ones that will call you with a way to save your money. It's rare that we see other CPAs pick up the phone and call a client and ask if they'd like to hear about a way they can either save more tax dollars or simultaneously perhaps create significantly more wealth over the rest of your life. We're planners. Most CPAs are reporters. They focus on what happened last year as opposed to taking your current facts and circumstances right here in 2022 and helping you rearrange or otherwise reallocate how your money's being used to take advantage of the tax code or to take better advantage of the tax code. And by the way, I did I hear some good stuff on the show before ours today. I love tuning in early. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is the money, because that's the lifestyle that you'll be able to live. And so I know it sounds good, and I know people don't really stop and think about it. Most people aren't that stupid. They understand it takes money to live, and it takes more money to live more. And, you know, if you look at the current dynamics of living, you know, the medical technology, the access to certain lifestyle technologies, let's call it, people are living a lot longer. And, you know, that may or may not be a good thing. I guess it depends on your individual circumstances, but I can tell you this, it's going to take more money if you're going to live longer. So you've got what we refer to as a longevity risk. Are you going to outlive your money, or is your money going to outlive you, which is what you hope? And if you are able to invest in the right transactions and the right asset spaces, asset classes, your odds go way up. And unfortunately, we don't know what the future holds for each one of us. But I can tell you this, if you give away 30 to 50% of your family's net worth, if you get married, if I'm going to use the analogy I heard on the air earlier today, just before this show, if you marry the wrong person, your chances of financial freedom go way down. We're concerned about financial freedom 20, 25, 30 years from now. I'm not sure what time frame that Self-Made Millionaires platform is truly concerned with, because it's worse in the short term and it stays worse in the long term. And if you compare the difference, let's compare marrying into the right family. Again, I'm going to keep this in the marital context. It is a good example. I like the way they phrase it. It's just like everything else they talk about, at least tax-wise. It's as Red Adair was fond of saying, you think the professionals are expensive, just try the amateurs. Well, here we go again with more amateur advice on getting married. And I'm going to suggest you start off thinking more like Kenny Rogers instead of Self-Made Millionaire. That, you know, you probably should have just stayed married to the first one, because you're exchanging one set of problems for another. And I'm going to suggest to you, we have a way to deal with the first one. We will show you how to start your investing without giving 30 to 50% of your family's net worth away. That is insane to think about doing that, and we'll show you why you don't have to. In any event, let's see. I wanted to what we're going to do is we're going to use the marriage analogy in terms of explaining how to execute the tax rules when we come back for the second segment. And I will walk you through. We're going to talk Roth conversions again today. Roth conversions are absolutely the hottest thing right now in the investment space in the face of this market that's going up and down, up and down. And, you know, when you can convert your existing pre-tax dollars over to tax-free dollars and have that those returns coming to you tax-free, not tax-deferred, tax-free for the rest of your life, that's an amazing way to deal with both the longevity risk and the second big risk is the tax risk. And I don't think most people really have a clue as to exactly how huge the tax risk is right now. We talk about it here on the air. We're going to mention it again today. We're going to talk about the Congressional Budget Office report that was sent way back in 2009 to Paul Ryan. This topic is not new. I know everybody's talking about it now because the deficit is out of control. But let me tell you, the deficit has been out of control. It's just a lot more out of control since 2009. And so when you are able to connect the dots, you're going to understand why our focus here for a while will be Roth, Roth, and more Roth. And those are conversions because that's your strategy to get off the tracks. You know, we see you sitting on the tracks getting ready to get run over by a tax train, and we're going to rescue you. If you'll listen to the strategy, it's well within most people's grasp, and then you're going to solve both the tax risk, tax rate risk, and collaterally the longevity risk. And then we're in general going to talk about some psychological issues of how people look at their 401k balances or don't look at them, I guess, as the case may be. And it's interesting, there's been studies, you might imagine, with everything else we do, quote, studies on. I saw an article this week that talked about how to peek at your 401k without freaking out. And I don't know, this is written from the perspective of someone that believes in the stock market, so I guess we can start off by just mentioning that, and then I think some of the rest of the article will make a lot of sense for those of us that are already well past thinking that the market is how to get rich or how to create retirement wealth. So in any event, well, let's go ahead and take our break. We'll be back here in a few minutes, and I believe Dan DuBose will have joined us by that point. We'll be right back with more of the Be a Planner Tax Mash Show.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
The Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, focuses exclusively on helping investors understand the current options for investing. The syndication arena has changed. You can now take advantage of direct online investing options without expensive upfront membership fees. Nathan Ross, CPA, discusses these options and more, including the math involved with partnership selection, reporting, and performance. On the Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, Sundays at 7 a.m. right here on KSEV.
Hi, this is Paul Berlin. My program's coming right up. Don't go away.
Paul Berlin, a radio icon. His unique style and warm personality endeared him to so many. His endless stories and great music will never die. Paul may no longer be with us, but his memory will live on. KSEV is proud to continue with the best of Paul. Every Saturday evening, 6 to 8 p.m., Paul said it best as he closed his show.
We'll meet again at 700 a.m. KSEV in Heavenly Houston.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and I'm joined by my associate, Dan DuBose. Dan, how are you doing this afternoon?
Very well, Nathan. Thank you.
Good. Glad to have you with us again today. And as I explained, we're going to talk about Roth, Roth, and more Roth today, and specifically, we like the Roth 401 option. We like the Roth IRA option as well, if that's your only choice, meaning that you've already got your money in a Roth IRA, because unfortunately we can't get it over to a Roth 401. Different sets of rules, mainly better on the Roth 401 front, but we will be talking about some of those rules and explain why that marrying the Roth 401 up to a rep or set of reps, real estate private partnership syndications, is like a twofer in many ways in terms of your throughput, your wealth creation, et cetera. You'll like, I believe, what you hear. Dan, let's talk about the article that I mentioned before we were leaving for the first segment. How to peek at your 401k without freaking out. Subtitle, this was in the Wall Street Journal, by the way, I guess today. I'm 12 hours ahead of the Central Time Zone, so I get confused sometimes on these dates. But July 2nd at 12 a.m., of course, they couldn't make it easy, right? 12 a.m. Eastern Time. So whatever that is, I think it was midnight Friday for the Central Standard guys, but whatever, it's near term, very, very recent. And I'm just going to read you a brief, this to me was interesting, and I don't know whether to agree, disagree, or question it on some facets. I'm just telling you, it's interesting that somebody actually, I don't know if they derive pleasure in this type of study, but it's, you know, it obviously rose to the level where they were interested in researching and writing about it. But taking a quick glance when stocks are down can cause investors to take steps that undermine their long-term financial security, increasing the temptation to sell stocks at fire sale prices. And I know all of us have probably seen that. Some of us may have done that. I don't do anything in the stock market now, but you know, that doesn't mean I knew how to do it any better than you did way back when. In any event, continuing on, when markets are down, people get concerned and want to check their balances, says Julie Verta, senior financial advisor at Vanguard Group. But that can be counterproductive. The more people look at their 401s, the lower their long-term returns are likely to be, according to two landmark studies from behavioral economists Shlomo Benarzi and Richard Thaler. They find that investors with distant goals who resist the temptation to monitor the market earn significantly higher profits over time than those who checked annually. Why? They were likely to invest more in stocks. Now, I'm not sure I agree with that logic. Well, I know I don't agree with the ultimate. If that's a strategy, I don't agree with the strategy, but I'm not even sure I agree that the lower their long-term returns are likely to be just because they're checking the balance. I suspect that in the world where all things are 50-50, there's some that do better and some that do worse. Wouldn't you think, Dan?
Yeah, but emotions play such a big part in that. When you see it going down, it's so easy to say, get rid of it. You might miss the best day of the year or that decade or whatever. And one guy said, if you missed the best day in the last 10 decades, you would have missed a payback of probably 10 times. Just that one day missing it.
Is that right? Wow.
Emotions are so incredible when it comes to looking at your money. It's easy to, and it's so easy these days to trade online or to make a decision to sell that stock or buy that stock for that matter, when you might think it's at the bottom, but it's still going down.
I would acknowledge that timing is everything in the stock market. It is with most investments, but more so when it's a yo-yo that's moving pretty fast, you know, either direction. Let's see. I wanted to give you some statistics. When the market fell during chaotic periods in 2008 and the first month of the COVID-19 panic, fewer than 20% of workers made trades in their portfolios. That's pretty amazing, because I would guess it had been a lot higher. Fewer than 20% of workers made trades in their portfolios or changed their savings rate, according to an analysis of client trading data by investment consulting firm Callen LLC and one plan that Callen studied. Workers who did sell during the first quarter of 2020 sold more than 40% of their stocks on average. That's a pretty big number. So in any event, I'm going to suggest to you, there was a quote I was looking for. To reduce the temptation to check your balance and trade, one of these experts suggests deleting apps that provide access to your 401 account. Okay, they know by saying that everybody's going to go add three more apps that give them access to their information. But, they do make the point that for those with an effective long-term financial plan, the only reason to make a change is because your personal situation has changed. Well, I totally disagree with that. The reason to make a change is because your current plan isn't going to get you there when it comes to your longevity risk and your tax rate risk. And most people, I'm convinced, when they see they've got an account balance of, I don't know, call it just for a good round number, $500,000, don't really realize, but by the time they get down the road another 10, 15 years or so, based on what we see happening with the deficit, they will be lucky to have $150,000 left in that account, or maybe $200,000, were they to have to access it. And you would hope they did have to, because if you keep going further and further out, the tax rate risk is going up exponentially. And speaking of that, Dan, you'll recall that on the last several shows, we keep referring to the CBO, that would be the Congressional Budget Office report. And CBO, as you will recall if you're listening, is the agency in Washington, or the department. I'm not sure what's the technically correct term. I believe it's an agency, right, Dan? Or is it part of Congress?
It's a committee? Major agency, Congressional Budget Office,
Right. So bottom line is they were tasked with studying how high the tax brackets would need to be adjusted upward. This is back in 2008-09 time frame, to put true fixes in place to address the federal deficit, the total federal debt that was held by the public back in 2008-9. And it was bad, but it wasn't nearly as bad as it is now. And to illustrate that, if you look at the report, which is easy to find, by the way, if you do a Google search, you'll find that their predicate was that our percent of debt to the gross domestic product, the GDP, would not cross the 100% threshold until about 2039, 2040, somewhere in there. And the reason that's an important measure, I think, is because I can remember congressman after congressman back in that time frame talking about how, well, you know, our debt's really not that bad as a percentage of GDP. You remember that, Dan? You'd hear that routinely.
Yes.
And
that was true back then.
Well, I was just going to say, and back then, I've forgotten what the report pegged I want to say it was in the 60s, you know, mid to high 60s, maybe low 70s, of the GDP. And so it was a true statement. Well, now, so anyway, they projected that we wouldn't cross the 100% mark until 2039, 2040. Well, now, would you like to know, or would you like to guess what the percentage of public debt was for 2021 to the GDP? It was 137%. This was for 2021. And obviously, with what's going on now with the inflationary tendencies, and I've read an article just this week, and I didn't get into it enough to give you details, but it suggested that the GDP has finally or will contract here in 2022. So it'll be a whipsaw effect. Not only were our borrowings, contrary to what Mr. Biden keeps telling us about how much better off we are, that's not true when it comes to the federal borrowing. And, you know, at this moment, we're probably in excess of 140, would be my guess. And I'll need to go back and pull that article to see how much contraction is at play. But bottom line is, we're focused on the tax brackets we're getting ready to share with you. We're focused on a 2009 view. You know, it was in a letter that went to Paul Ryan from CBO that indicated to truly fix the problem, we would need to raise what was then the lowest bracket of 10% up to 25, more than double, and then we would need to raise the middle bracket that was 25 up to 63%. Again, much higher than doubling. I guess these are all, what, 150%, Dan, increases so far?
Yeah.
10 to 25, yeah. And then the highest bracket that was 35 would have to go up to 88%. Excuse me. Chokes me up just thinking about it. And, yeah, the reality is that doesn't include any state taxation. So I don't know how you could tax more than 100%, but right now the highest California tax bracket's 13.5, Dan, or 13.8? I've forgotten. It's up there.
Yeah, it's in the mid-teens. Yeah, it's high.
Yeah, and same with New York. So, you know, effectively you would be at a point where you might, you know, pay all your profit, your income. I doubt, so there'll probably be some limit. You got to be able to pay for your gas because that contributes the gas tax at the federal and state level, right? So they're not going to shut us out of that ability. Anyway, it's pretty amazing just how far down the current brackets are versus what the umpire, that would be CBO, they're not supposed to be Democrat or Republican. They're supposed to call the balls and strikes. And they're not always right, but it's better than just putting our heads in the sand to think that, okay, here's a group of economists that have tried to put a pencil to what these rates will need to be. And I'm telling you right now, the current brackets are on sale. I'm going to keep saying that. Been saying it for over a year and a half now, at least on the Tax Mass show. And, you know, you should think seriously this year, right now, about pulling the trigger on some conversions over to Roth. And there's some other reasons, just operational reasons, why starting now probably makes sense for many people. And we're going to talk about the five-year rule here momentarily. But, you know, the ability for you to convert, even if you're in the highest bracket, you know, let's think about that. Because heretofore, we might have said, well, you know, if you're in the 37% bracket, that's not really as optimal as if we could pay tax on the converted amount at maybe 22 to 24, maybe as high as 32%. We've got more brackets now than we had in 2008 and 2009. And by the way, we're not going to have as many if we get to 112026 and it hasn't already been changed for us by Congress doing something.
Many economists are saying that taxes could change before the 2026.
Well, I'm not sure about economists, but I'm telling you that Joe Biden is, and Congress, some of Congress is. They would love nothing more than to pass the president's Build Back Better, you know, to fund all the green initiative. And, you know, it's interesting how people talk of as if these high gas prices are good because they're forcing the change to the clean energy, which I don't know. I don't think they planned it. They may like the direction it's moving, but they're not going to like it for the midterm elections, or apparently they don't, because they're trying to blame it on everything but their policies, right? It's all Putin's fault. You know, it's all Putin's fault. But
or don't.
In any event, yeah, well, that's true. It was Trump's at first. Now it's, I guess, Mr. Putin's, even though, you know, the production in oil and gas really hasn't been that significant. The lack of the reduced production is what I was trying to say. But in any event, so even if you're in the 37% bracket, you probably look at paying the highest tax bracket, and let's call it 40 to be truthful, because you've got the 3.8 sliver for the net investment income tax, what we still call the Obama care tax. And so that's appealing to someone that otherwise might be tasked with paying 88%. That's pretty hard to stomach, isn't it, Dan, to think that we would actually welcome.
Particularly now that the market is down too, it's, you know, you get a bit of a discount there to when you do that conversion.
Well, yeah, that's if you were doing it just generally. I mean, if you, you know, we're doing a Roth conversion on funds that were sitting in your Schwab or Fidelity account, if you marry up the Roth conversion with investments in the real estate private partnership arena, which is what we focus on, well, as you know, Dan, we are able to take discounts of anywhere between 50 and 70% on those investments as private company transactions, so that, you know, we've got a good thing already, and that those investments typically generate higher than average rates of return, somewhere between 10 and 30% on average per year, not necessarily in years 1 and 2, 3 and 4, but by the time you refinance a property and then you sell the property later, if you took all your distributions, added them up, divided them by your investment, you would end up somewhere in that average annual rate of return or return on investment of, you know, 10 to 30%, typically 20 to 30%. But, you know, there's no guarantees. It all depends on the property, the timing, you know, et cetera. And we're entering some headwinds here that have some turbulence, so things could vary. Although that said, you know, I've been watching this space now for over 20 years, and I've seen probably more money made when things get tough, like they're getting ready to be, because there's some syndicators that always seem to do a better job of analyzing the market, analyzing the properties, keeping some of their funding available, keeping their powder dry, so to speak, so that when things start heading south, truly start heading south, which I would tell you we're probably about a year out from that period due to the need to refinance these projects, which we'll talk about here in a minute when we get back from our break. Let's go ahead and take another break, and we will be back with more of the Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross and Dan DeBose.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started with real estate private partnership syndications, you can now take advantage of direct online investing options. Tune in Sundays at 7 a.m. to the Be a Planner Syndication Math Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, right here on KSEV.
Be so good, how do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving, don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern.
Okay, welcome back to the third segment of the Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross, and my guest today is Dan DeBose, CPA. And Dan, we were just talking about how we're thinking here within the next year you're going to start to see some cracks in the foundation, quote unquote, underpinning the multifamily private real estate partnership market. And, you know, when you look at the significant number of transactions, this has been a hot market the last 2 or 3 years. A lot of transactions, a lot of syndication transactions have been put together. And I would say that over the last year, 98 or 99% of them have deployed a type of debt for their funding that we refer to as bridge debt. And bridge debt is a, you know, the syndicators sell it as being a very flexible type of debt, et cetera. The reality is it's the only debt they can get right now. And the problem is, yeah, it's flexible if you've got a good story to tell when you get to the end of what is typically a three-year term, very short term, usually has 2 one-year extensions available. The rate is variable in most cases. In some cases, you can rate lock if you put a bunch of money in up front with the lender and buy it down or buy a cap. But bottom line is, for you to go the full 5 years on, let's say, a $50 million loan, that's going to cost you another $1 million in extension fees. It's basically 1% for each of those two additional years. It takes a big chunk out of the profits that might otherwise be distributed to partners, and that's if you can get it. And, you know, for those of us that have lived a little, you know, we're by the way, you know, Dolly in her song that was just played said she's not the Dalai Lama. Well, we're not either. We really can't read the future. All we can do is in our own caveman accountant way. Dan, I believe you're a caveman too, if I recall. We don't understand all these technical terms and fancy loan types. All we know is when you're asked to pay fees to extend for another year or another year, it comes out of whose pocket, right? It's not coming. The lender's not offering that up. It's coming out of the partners' pockets collectively, however you want to define that. And when you look at the significant number of transactions and you understand that the reason these transactions couldn't get an agency loan, you know, Freddie or Fannie, FHA, whatever, you know all the acronyms, was because the banks aren't offering it. They don't want to be locked in at a lower rate when the market's giving them significant upside and the ability to be picky when it comes to who the borrower is. And so we know that unless in a year or two, as some of these deals start to mature and they're looking for a home in terms of the refinance, we know that unless you've got a significant story to tell, a bright, rosy picture from when you bought the property last year, you're not going to have many options, if any, to refinance that loan. And it's going to be a train wreck, just like it was 2008, 2009, and 2010. And we would suggest to you that that creates significant opportunity to, you know, not only invest in transactions that will, you'll make money on the purchase, let's call it, but further, you've got the ability to continue on a Roth conversion strategy that we'll put in place for you. Well, we're not converting all of your retirement funds in 1 year. We're looking at doing this over, you know, 5, 6, 7, maybe as long as 8 years, because we're presuming, like most of our clients, you still got other income that's being taxed in the current year. And so we want to try to optimize that rate, unless you're just in the highest bracket. If you're in the highest bracket, hey, first of all, congratulations. And second of all, it's still less than half what the rates are likely to become if we wait as long as 2029 or 30, assuming it doesn't happen sooner. And I guess the good news, the silver lining here, is that the Build Back Better Act and its ensuing new versions, you know, the TY-23 budget proposal has most of it, presumes the Build Back Better is going to pass to raise revenues, but let's just assume it doesn't. If there's other ways for Congress to piecemeal it and get the rates up, that could happen before 1/1/2026. That's a long time off the way Congress thinks, right? So it is possible that we could see rates, higher rates sooner. We think we've got anywhere from, again, 5, 6, 7 years to get your funds converted over. And the tax code, the proposal in the Build Back Better is to have a 10-year window before the ability to convert to Roth would be restricted. 2032 was the timeline under which it's indicated that at that point, if you're over $450,000 a year in married filing joint income, then you would not be able to convert. So between now and then, you could have $10 million in annual income and you could still convert. So Dan, let's do this. Let's take our last break, and when we come back, let's talk about the ability to use the money that's in the Roth. Okay, so we'll be right back with more of the Be a Planner Tax Mash Show with Nathan Ross and Dan DuBose.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday, 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross on AM 700 KSEV.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Hi, this is Paul Berlin. Don't touch that dial. My program is coming up very shortly.
Big dreams and faded jeans.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner Tax Mash show with Nathan Ross and Dan DuBose, CPAs. And Dan, let's get further into the Roth 401. And first of all, I guess before we get this or go down this path, let's talk about just generally the strategy here, which is, you know, our typical client is still working. They participate in a big company, what we call a big company 401k plan, and they live in Texas. They may or may not be over the magic 59 and a half year threshold, which the only thing magic about it is tax related. Let me just tell you, as someone that, well, both of us are over 59 and a half, and it is magical in terms of being able to work with your retirement funds without jumping through a hoop or two. But bottom line is, even in the scenario where you're 52 or 32, if you've got money in a 401k plan at the office, quote unquote, and you're married and you live in the great state of Texas, I want you to understand that we can help you access those funds to where they can be self-directed. You control the money. You pay no tax or penalty. And being able to control those funds. And it's totally different than what you would hear on Self-Made Millionaires radio show and this concept of getting married to the IRS. Let me tell you something. When you hand the IRS 30 to 40% of your family's net worth, that's effectively a bad relationship right out of the chute. The things that they were saying you'll be complaining about at the end, oh, no, you'll be complaining about that in the beginning because you're going to be paying an ever-increasing rate of tax once you've been told you thought you were getting rid of the IRS, but no, you're getting hitched right away with the IRS because now you're going to pay tax every 5, 6, 7 years when you exit those transactions. But anyway, the way we like to do it is we like to keep your family's net worth in one piece and invest the totality. And I guess in thinking through that relationship, think how much happier of a relationship that's going to be if you don't pay any tax on the gains on those investments until you decide you want to live on some of that money. And even then, you're only paying tax on the small piece that you're taking out that year. It's a beautiful thing. And you can do it without paying any tax and penalty up front. And that's something that, again, it's professional tax advice. It's not amateur. And, you know, we don't effectively get paid a penny by our client because all of our fee will come out of the savings that's generated by you not paying the IRS. And that's today, the first year, and the rest of your life. Otherwise, we won't do your project if we have some idea that that's not the case. We work off of tax savings. And for those of you that might want to work with us, you can go to the baplanner.com website. Top right corner is intake forms, a link to intake forms, and then there's a link to schedule a call with Dan or I or both of us. And I would encourage you, no charge, is complimentary. We'll show you what your numbers look like. If you scroll all the way down the page, that front home page, we'll show you what your dollars can generate in these types of investments and what that means to you over your lifetime. And just to whet your appetite on a $350,000 401, if you were to keep the tax dollars that you'll save invested for the next 30 years, it's an amount somewhere in the $24 to $25 million range that would result. And it is hypothetical, obviously, because we're assuming instead of you sending money to the IRS, you take the same amount of money and invest it for 100% of the time over that 30 years. That won't happen. You'll have some days, weeks, maybe a month or so where it's not invested at all. And so that will reduce that projection, but call it what it is. Let's say it's 21 million or 18 million. It's still lottery size winnings by simply executing under the optimal code section for this type of investing. And it's not exotic. It's not a gray area. This is statutory under the current Internal Revenue Code. We're not looking at court cases and connecting dots. 514C9 of the tax code is the big exception to the UDFI tax, which is what we avoid by using this structure instead of an IRA, which I know a lot of you folks are invested in IRAs, and congratulations on investing those in real estate private partnership syndications, but you've got a surprise coming. Each time you exit, you're supposed to be filing the 990T forms and paying your UDFI tax. There's not a lot of compliance, but that is the rule. And if you have that situation, you can absolutely roll those funds into the 401 trust structure that we utilize and avoid getting slammed with the UDFI tax. So, again, if you're interested, fill out the forms, schedule a call. We'll be happy to walk you through that. Dan, back to the Roth. We've only got a couple minutes here. Let's assume that we've gone through the process of rolling our funds or converting our funds after we rolled them from the big company 401 over to the self-directed 401 trust. Explain what some of our options are. If we need to access the money sooner than retirement, quote unquote, we can do it, but we've got some prohibitions. So I guess just generally, let's not get into the weeds too much. What would that look like? Which part of the funds can we tap and how quickly, et cetera?
You mentioned earlier the five-year rule. You've got to wait 5 years. It could be as little as 4 years and one day, depending on when you made that contribution. Before you could draw your money out or conversion, contribution or conversion, you could wait. You got the five-year rule, though. It says you've got to wait a five-year period to be able to draw the funds from the converted or contributed. And it's and that
right.
The first and year starts the first day of that year, not necessarily
you get in it. That's right. So if you made a contribution in early 2021, as an example, for the 2020 year, then your five-year clock starts on January 1, 2020, correct?
Right. That's right.
Right. So, but that's if you're wanting to withdraw funds and take some of your profits out. What if you just wanted some of the principal out that you didn't claim a deduction on, Dan, either because of a Roth contribution or on funds that you converted?
Yeah, it's tax-free, or it comes back to you without tax. If you're, 59.5 rule comes into play there too, does it not? You've got a, there's so many complicated things with.
Well, you've got to be 59.5 to avoid the penalty, I think, is what you're focused on. And, of course, you'll pay tax on any profits that you're pulling out. Now, the ordering rules are, again, favorable to someone that does the Roth 401 in that your contributions or converted capital is deemed to come out first. And then once you exceed that level, then it becomes earnings. And potentially, if you don't meet the 59.5 year old half of that rule, you'll pay the 10% penalty. And so it means that accounting becomes an issue when if you have a solo K and you've got a custodian that's not doing the accounting, which most of them don't, not in this context, you've got some missing pieces of the puzzle to successfully navigate the future. The Roth 401 is as complicated as the Roth IRA. It's just different. And so we would encourage you to work with professionals so that, yes, not just the tax benefits as you're making contributions, it's understanding the accounting involved so that you don't inadvertently pay tax twice on some of those dollars. Dan, we're going to talk more about this next week. The Roth 401 is a big part, big opportunity for our clients and for those that are contemplating these types of investments. And again, what a marvelous way to minimize the conversion tax simply by investing in this type of asset versus the index funds, mutual funds, et cetera. But in any event, I look
now
forward to next week.
Time to get started on it too.
Well, there's no question. And by the way, let's talk a bit, just a little bit, because we just got a minute left here. Tomorrow at 7 a.m., we have the Be a Planner Syndication Mass Show. We'll be discussing another specific transaction. And would welcome you to tune in tomorrow as well. It'll be right here on AM 700, KSEV at 7 a.m. Dan, thanks for joining me. And we look forward to having you tomorrow. Yeah, happy July 4th. Almost forgot. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of Be a Planner Show here on AM 700 KSEV.